Mr. Scott, real form. Your arrival in Berlin, where was it? Where did you actually go to when you got into Berlin?
We went straight to the, it was an area of Spandau, Berlin. We found out once we got there, there were ex-SS barracks, and they were very good. They put those in the shed.
In what can you describe
the
them?
The foundation was brilliant. Steps, the barrack rooms itself were all not so big, not so many in them and that, and it was really good. The facilities were good. The ablutions areas were good. The rugby square, I suppose they did square past the same as us. The Duffy facilities there were brilliant, they were very good. Deviate a little bit, just a little bit. There was a noted cafe, they called it the Corner Caf. I think everybody in that area of Berlin saw it, knew the Corner Caf. Yeah. That was the main staging post, put it that way. But once we got at that barracks, we realised then that there was a, when it decided, that there was an air of, although it was 1952, it was still, a lot of the buildings were still, you know, still not repaired and what have you. And we realised then that the Cold War was still there. So the first thing we were told, at least how I recall being told, was once you get out on your first time out of here, not to wander into the Russian sector of Berlin, because you might not come back. And I think, I would think unofficially that might have happened. On occasion, we kept quiet. And we made a point, at least I did, when the lads were going out, we made a point of going out, not to go anywhere near that sector.
Yeah. Well, the sector's well marked, so you couldn't blunder into them very easily.
I've done that on a lot of occasions. Yeah. Unless you knew somebody who could. I remember asking an MP one day. In fact, we were wandering, there were three of us. The two lads from Penzance, and the other lad from. Falmouth, Barry and Ryan, and we walked along with it, and piece away, not to one. Oh, we just got along with that piece, so you better go up that road, he said, you're going to the Russian sector. But if any, we could have wandered in. Another occasion, I think it was called the lad Armstrong, who was with. And we wandered along, and we come, and it was Spandau Station, but that was half under the Russians, half under us, and we went down these steps. And we've seen the Russian coming along there with his gun, his bet, not the bet, but his, like their type, like a Tommy gun type of thing, coming along the platform. Well, we doing us quick about turning off. But we'd wandered in, there was no real marking signs. Then, the Laffey, as I said, was great there in Berlin.
Is it a large one, big Laffey?
Big one, oh, it was fabulous. And the French used to use it, and the Americans, and that. And it was funny. The first person I walked into was the lad I went to school with. So I went upstairs, Billy Waller, not no less than John, he died of two or three years ago, this lad. God, you know, of course, it was drinks, you know. But that was my first experience, how do you get home from this naffy to the camp? And I thought, well, the MPs will see us. Barry, the lad from Penzance, he said, I don't know if we can do it, he said, without a seeing. He said, we'll climb on top of the trams, going around nice classic flats in Berlin, they won't see us. So we run, climb on the top of the tram, and we run the top of them trams right along till we come to the outskirts of Spandau where the Corner Caf was, and dropped off. And we got in 2 minutes before 12, otherwise we were inside. Yeah. And that's how we got back that night. Then we did it again. Yeah.
What facilities did this naffy have?
Oh, I did everything. It was really good. Even them days, at least I used to think it was marvellous. Yeah. The only thing was, I don't know what to say, but it's the truth. The American soldiers used to flash their money around. And it used to make you feel, not inferior, but you couldn't, you know, you used to think, look at them, you know. You go into a cafe for a dance or something like that, and they'd be there, you know, the girls used to come round them, you know, and all that. And they just, sure, that's my opinion, you know. I know, but then there was another part. Well, I was in the battalion football team at the time, and used to go training and we this was the second time going out to Berlin. We were playing I don't know if it was a Black Watch or something like that, and a semi final of a cup or something, a bit shabby, the Rhine Cup it was, and got to go to Hanover to play at their neutral ground. Well, of course we had to go through the circle again. Same. But we had no good with this, we had no football kit. Yeah, sitting there saying, you can't hide that, can you? You know, and that's how he used to talk. And that was the second time, then the same procedure coming back. But then he really hit the Berlin.
Just before I go on, we were talking about the Nafi, and you said the Americans were there. Were there any fisticuffs between British and American troops when you met like this?
Well, I wasn't involved in any problem.
It took place, yeah. What about the French? What were they like?
Well, they didn't have a lot of money. They started with it. Well, they used to say, they would want to say, those regards to pay compared to the Americans. And they weren't smart. No way. Weren't smart. Well, I'll say without fear of contradiction, we were the smartest in Berlin of all of them. Well, I knew we had to vote for it, you know, because that was part of the job. Mm. And the Spandau prison job, he was...
Yes, we'll come to that, of course, yeah. So you were in these pretty good barracks, as you say, SS barracks, and everything seemed to be a little bit up in quality that you were in. What were you doing there, in effect? What was happening to you?
There was a detachment used to be sent up to a place called Wilmersdorf, which I understood. In all the army paper, anyway, in the slips, the last will and testament, we had to fill them in, because apparently, from what we understood, this Wilmersdorf was like sort of on the outskirts of our sector. And if the Russians started anything, we were the first to go. We were like a listening post. We'd come in first and we'd put, they're coming in. And that you were there for, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 weeks. So you went there, not knowing what the hell was going to happen. And that was when I really started drinking the beer as you asked then. And I started smoking and I didn't even smoke.
And what was the position that you were holding there? What
it was just like a little billet type thing. And you got a bit of a meal place there, where I get. But that's what we were told. You went first, put it that way. Yeah.
And whilst you were there, what would you do?
We were just sitting around, doing guards, you know, listening, things like that, yeah. Really nothing.
Where were the Russians in relation to where you were?
Well, they were only so far down the road. Directly if they were starting, we were the first to go. But we would have been the first to send the drift back, either started, you know.
So you were in communication with...
Communication with them, yeah. But that's what we were told, we were there for. Why it was torn up, I don't know. But I almost remember the name Wilmersdorf. And I have a photograph there of myself, Barry, the other two, Pilbury, and I've sat there with a bottle, somebody took a bottle there, and that's all he did. Yeah. But I remember having to fill the last little strip, the last will and testament, your mother's name and that, and hand it in before we went.
And was that a company position or a platoon?
A platoon.
And presumably you had a platoon officer and NCOs with you.
Officers' names, I'm not very good at the section lines, that I know most of the names, which is, you remember most of them. But we couldn't understand why we went there till we come back and did a bit of quaking, and that's what somebody come up with. Yeah. Whether it was true or not, I don't know. Yeah.
So that was one of your duties. You did mention Spandau. Was there a duty there for you?
Spandau prison, yeah. I never went on it, but it was changed once a month. Russians, the Yanks, the French, and the British. What the rotation was, I just can't remember. But I think one of our lads, Ratham Bishop Walker, from Val Stevenson, I'm not quite sure about this, but when they were challenging at an interpreter, and somehow or other, the wrong word was given. And they reckoned that Val opened fire. And we I've not ever seen anyone done it. It was sent straight home. There was a time in Colchester.
Who had he shot?
He fired at the Russian. The temperatures had gone wrong with somebody with that.
So he fired at the Russian?
He fired at I think it was the Russians who were taken over at the time. Yeah. The Spandau prison yard. Because that was it. I know we used to think, if one was going on, oh, you have to vote. You have to be smart. And that's when you proved you were smartest, yeah. And then we used to get German lessons there. And we used to march. We had a lot of cobblestones. And used to be skidding all over the place. But I was really getting into it. Because with being Scottish, and being able to go what they call guttural, the German language, loch, where you would say loch, but I could speak, I'm getting really into it. I thought I was smashing. And then all of a sudden, we're on the move, you know, really enjoyed it. It was good education, that.
So you had these guard duties. What else were you doing there as a battalion?
Oh, some schemes. You were going out to Spandau Forest, schemes, you know, digging your trench and running a tank over the top of you to make sure you. Well, it was hard landing, but didn't you? Yeah. It was really good training. Well, good competitions. Battalion shield competitions amongst ourselves and what have you. It was varied. But, like my pal down in Penzance, he said that was a hell of a good post. He said, for the bull, the smart, we were the top of that. He said, I don't care what anybody says. We were really. When we went out on a guard, or wherever you're going, you were smart. Even if you were going to Nappy, you were smart. Yeah. And we should show them others, as far as I was concerned. Yeah.
And you said these manoeuvres and schemes, were they large scale, larger than battalion, brigade, and so forth?
Yeah, it used to be, it might be some of the Scottish battalions, because the Black Watch was out there at the time. Was the King's Regiment? I just can't remember. They were up there or not. I know they were there in the back. So sometimes they'd be all involved in them, you know. And in Spandau Forest, it was queer. It wasn't like our woods at Forest here would have gorse and that. But it was more like a sandy soil. It was funny. And when you dug a slit trench, it used to collapse. You know, it wasn't like clay. You know, you had a hell of a job digging a slit trench, you know. And then see the tank come over the top. And the first time I went up, I thought, oh my God, here it comes. You know, but it was true, yeah. You had to do it. And it proved it's worth, yeah. And the best time there was the meal. The jeep used to come. Oh, that was another thing. The Russians had a part of that forest. The Russians set the span out, and we had. And from what I can gather, there was a one track, and it split. To the left was us, and to the right was the Russian sector. And every now and again, from what I can gather, how a jeep would go, they'd take the wrong turn and come scoping back out the way, get out quick. Yeah. Because we say, why the late order took the wrong turn and when the group was late, that's what used to happen. Yeah. I mean, I'm not for now, but there were serious things then. But that's where discipline came into it. You know what was right, you know what was wrong. Yeah.
And it was a good training areas that you're going through.
Good training area. And then there's other part, you see, what they call San Laga for training. And that was the first time I come across old relics of the German tanks, the Tiger tank and that, you know, stacking them with old finished ones. And that was a good training area as well. They used to break in there, because that was the first time you had like the live ammo.
So your training, obviously from your point of view, it'd be the first time you dug slit trenches, was it? Session.
Yes, it was first time, yeah.
Did they show you how or tell you how to do it?
Well, it was just basic. Sometimes, a colleague would say, or dig one there, and how much? You wonder how much it would be, but you like yourself. Mm-hmm. You like yourself, yeah. Which is a good thing, because you have to lie to people any time, you get nowhere.
And you had your own individual digging tools, did you, or as part of your equipment?
Yeah, part of it, yeah. Not like the youngster used to have that thing stuck on the back, yeah. We had the old shovel down the side, down there, yeah. And at Chanelaga, it was good, that. I enjoyed there, better there than what we Well, the whole battalion didn't go. Sometimes with the children, they very send a company, just depending on what the duties were in Berlin involved. And the king, when was it? The king's funeral, was it? The big procession there. Yeah, the king, George Reed.
He died in 52, didn't he?
With the funeral procession there. Well, those being light infantry, put out and pasted out with his pacer, and we had to set off. I think it was 20 minutes or something behind everybody else, because we was walking at 140, we were going to catch up, and it was, this is going to, this is left on the side, and this was going to be there. We were going to meet in front of the saluting base, you know, and we were going past. And of course, you know, with the pot, we were watching that, we were banging into the pot when we got there. I mean, I'm laughing now, and it wasn't good, that was one thing with all the pot, the girls took me front, and then there was another thing we used to do, special guard, was opera. And that was the first time in Dasplina Mouse, the field mouse, this was the opera, and all the bigwigs were going to it, gems, etc., because she was to provide a guard. And it was our band, our dance orchestra, used to play there, because we had a smashing dance band as well as on the best bugles. And we used to look forward to that, because when you went to that, as a guard, you know, as they were coming, you were bowled up, but you always got a good meal, you know. You only did it once, like, because it could change it. Another battalion somewhere else would probably get to do. But it was also a dance band. I enjoyed Berlin. Mm-hmm.
So you had guards on Spandau Prison, which you shared, and then you had these occasional guards. Where else did you do guard duties?
There was another guard, General Harding. When he finished with Field Marshal Harding, he had a villa where it used to be boat tied up, and I once got sent on that. I think it was 12. There was some inside and some doing the perimeter, and this night. I'd been out, it was really cold, but inside it was rugged, the place was sad. It was like a part of the right down building of this villa that we were in. It wasn't a villa or anything, it was a proper little place. And I don't know if it was Barry, I can't remember the name. The corporal said, unfasten your belt, because it was roasting, you know, and it was, I mean, the great coat, and it was bitter outside. So I unfastened the belts, and the four of us, and he was sat there. And who should walk in? General Hand, well, of course, no, he wouldn't probably do that type of thing. And all stood up, he said, sit down, gentlemen. Sit down, soldiers, he said. Have you had anything to eat? We will be in half an hour, something like that. Right away, he said, don't worry about your bounce, quite all right. And he walked off. Well, we were panicking. Oh, that's it, we're fighting. Yeah, gentlemen, yeah. I was only doing everything I knew, that they said that was General Hand. Yeah, we ended up a field marshal. But that was led to me that some of them were decent, We got the old, get that soldier for this, that, they'd charge me for everything, you know. Not only me, the rest of us all brought, we were in properly dressed, really. But we're off our stag, we finished our stag. Yeah.
Well, and you'd have guard duties around your own area, that
you
should
have.
And as you.
In the voucher, you had,
And obviously the standard of turnout was very high.
Oh, it was. Excellent, yeah. In fact, I would say we had one of the most strict RSM, but he was a great fella.
Do you remember his name?
RSM Thomason. Yeah. You never forget him. Oh, he was a smart fella. I think he ended up as a commissioned officer. The last I saw him was, or ahead of him, he was in the hospital at Catholic, going back a lot of years now. But he was a gentleman. He was a strict, but all he had was tip top. Yeah. And not Boston, let's say this, but their company, we all sit the coat on top. And every time we parade, inspected the lot. Yeah. We all say company. See company, don't say nothing. But go, I enjoyed it.
Did you have a stick man out of your guard?
Yes, I did.
No, was that a stick man?
Stick man, yeah.
The smartest.
Yeah. And anyway, Major Donoghue, he was our company commander, and then he went away for some training. We found out later on this was training for Korea, but we were told that at the time for a month, I was at home or something like that, and we got a Captain Grant. He came. He'd been out in, as far as I know, in India and Africa, because he was seconded to us from the Sumy African Rifles. It's the first time I've had something like that. But he was a tough him. He was, you know, when he came up to strip the guard, you know, turn the guard out, it was all in a minute. You know, he was a gentleman. He was a gentleman as far as we were concerned.
We've mentioned that, so we can deal with that. Major Donoghue was a Second World War officer, wasn't he?
Yes, yes, yeah.
What was he like as a person and an officer?
I thought he was a good officer, yeah. Now, I don't know the meaning of a White Russian, but they said he was a White Russian. What they meant by that, I don't know. But he came from Russian stock or what, but then, yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, he lost him in Korea.
And you say he was a good officer. In what ways was he a good officer?
In my opinion, he liked a smart company, and he got one. He made sure he did. But that, I didn't mind it, because discipline paid for it in Korea.
Who was second in command of your company?
Was it Parrott? If I saw photographs, I could picture, you know, the name.
Do you recall what he was like, this gentleman?
I think he was one of the photographs outside the barracks. He wore thin rimmed glasses, smallish. I've got photographs all over the place with him on.
Was he a good officer?
Yeah, yes, yeah. I don't know, in my opinion, I mean, I thought they were different, but I thought they were all pretty reasonable. Yeah.
Other officers in your company, do you recall any of them? In A Company?
Yeah. Well, I've got to apply because I'd have to go into Korea to recall
them. Well, we're talking about Berlin at the moment. Yes, yes, we're talking about Berlin at the moment.
There was, I don't tell you what did used to take place in Berlin, not with the officers, or some of them, horse riding. Some of them had their own horses there. Children would take the thing and that. And we're a good football team, and we're a good rugby team. His nickname, Batman Edwards, he became our RSM out of Korea. He was a very tough bugger, you know, like Fox of the North type of thing. Now, I mean, he was a character, and I also remember our detective boxing type of thing. Well, sometimes there was a boxing competition between the companies, you know, and he used to say, Scott, you're boxing tonight? And I used to say, no, you'd do anything not to go. And he'd make you go in there. But it was part of discipline. You know, he had to be frightened. I'd come out when I go, he was good. But he was great.
And was he one of your company NCOs?
No, he wasn't my company. No. He was, what company was he in? No, we were in our company. Because we had Sergeant Abbott.
Oh, not to worry, we'll stick to your company. Yeah, we'll stick to your company. So, your platoon was, which platoon were you? And who commanded number 2 platoon?
I can't, that's what I'm saying, I think was it, if it was in that, you know, I must admit there's some things there, I can't remember about the names
and what have you. Platoon sergeant, who was that, do you recall who that was? What was he like?
He got wounded in Korea anyway, if I remember him, the Manfield incident. Major Donoghue was killed. I can picture him on the photograph of the whole company outside. And to me, he used to say, you barely had to be an interstate to cross. But to me, he used to get a little mad for arms society because he used to be down here somewhere. And then he used to say, why didn't he get pulled up, you know, put in a charge, you know? But that was it. Yeah. It's a good company.
And how many sections was the platoon divided into?
Three.
And your which was your section?
Was number 1 section, yeah.
And how many men would be in the section?
Was it 9 or 10? I just forget that.
And how was it made up in weapon wise?
We had a gun, 2-inch mortar man.
Do you recall who commanded your little section?
Yeah, Brian Corporal Whittaker.
What was he like?
Well, he was my mate. He was the farmer's lad. And he said, oh, could I just go back a little bit? When they came from to be posted, and, oh, it might go a little bit too far ahead. But, no, I'll leave that till later on. To how he came into it, and became pals later on.
But he was okay. They were good. They were all fair people.
Yeah.
The men in your section in Berlin, do you recall who they were? What they were like?
The names in there, some of the names in there. One was Nicholson, a proper Cockney. He was a life and soul of the party. He was. I wish I could meet up with him. A lad called Sam Brooke. Jack Gross, he was the first wounded in the battalion, he was in my section. George Armstrong and a big lad called Hodges. I can't think of the names, the ones I can remember, who seemed to be after duties were over, mixed with type of thing in the nappy or whatever we were going to. Yeah. But it was a real good atmosphere, even the officer of the company.
And you were a rifleman, I think you said, yeah.
And then I passed, you know, you had your test for your lads, corporal. Because we should have known then, I think, because of making a lot of NCOs up, you know, getting ready for a move type of thing, but we didn't realise that, you know. And so I said, well, you Scott, we'll put you forward, you know, he didn't, you know, put you forward, you know, because we're pushing. And then you don't realise these things till the actual announcement's made.
And you got a stripe, did you say?
Yeah.
And that was in Berlin?
That was in Berlin, yes.
So that would put you what in still in the same section or?
Section, put me in charge of the section. Well, I'm number two in charge of the section. Going back a bit forward again, but the thing that annoyed me about this time, but I won't happen further on.
You'd get more pay, presumably, for this, right?
Yeah.
Do you recall how much extra you got?
I wish I could remember what the actual pay was. It wasn't a great deal in army pay. I think, if I remember rightly, when it came, the last pay was about £3 something a week. And going a bit further ahead, so much of that was sent out to mother. And it was put into what they call credits. And this was one thing that happened to a lot of us. When we came home, that money was supposed to be saved up for us. And I went with a book issued by the army to go and get the credits from the post office at Thornaby, and they had nothing for me. Never got a penny. All that money was stopped up as the time was out in Korea.
You didn't ever say why?
Never. We weren't told a thing. We used to complain. And where that money went, nobody knows. There wasn't only me. I used to phone the lads that we've got any credits yet. It's gone. Nobody knows where it's gone. Yeah. And that was money supposed to be going to our parents.
Can we just finish off the section?
Yeah.
Bren Gunner, did you have to carry on your own, although you were a rifleman, did you have to carry Bren Gunner magazines as part of
the... Rifleman, you could have the Bren gun. I used to have the Bren gun. You were efficient on both weapons.
Ah, so you taught them both?
Oh, yes, you could. Yeah, any rifleman in there could pick a Bren gun and do it immediately. Actually, change about IAs, as they call them. See those things that you remember? The IAs, immediate actions, change the barrel, cock gun and all, you know. And, oh, yes.